Choose not to live in a world of filters. Realize your mistakes. Set the foundation for your success. Get some wins. Knucklehead Podcast.
Well, welcome to another edition of Knucklehead Podcast. We got with us today, the Knucklehead Steven. This is exciting. Talking to entrepreneurs, we got a special guest with us, Alex. He's actually down in Austin. I'm going to screw up his last name, but I'm going to be a knucklehead and I'm going to try to say it the correct way. But is it Lebovich?
Leibovich.
Samsonite. It was way off, but I appreciate you taking some time to spend some time with us today, man. How's today going? And welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot. It's a pleasure to be here. It's raining down here in Austin, has been for weeks, but just like everything else in life, we roll with the punches and move right through it.
Absolutely. Well, that's the attitude. That's a helpful attitude to have. I think it's kind of where I'd like to start. Would you consider yourself to be a serial entrepreneur? I mean, help bring us up to speed on how we've gotten to this point of Auden Digital and then what came prior to that.
Sure thing. So I would absolutely consider myself a serial entrepreneur. I started my first company when I was 16 years old as a high school student, throwing rock shows in our local town because I saw that there was a need for that. Obviously, that company didn't go too far because I was a high school student who had absolutely no idea how to run a business. But I saw an opportunity to go outside of the mold, outside of the school to college to work path, and really follow a path that I set out for myself. Since then, I've started 14 other companies before Auden Digital. Vast majority of them have failed. But with each one that has failed, I've learned lessons along the way that have helped make companies that came later stronger and better equipped to handle the challenges of being an entrepreneur.
You know, I love that. I love that you're willing to just talk about how businesses failed. I don't know if you've ran into this or not, but here at Knucklehead, we want to harp on. I don't want to say harp. We want to give a amplifier to the voice of failure. One, because it's such a critical component to having breakthroughs. I mean, yes, there's planning that goes into starting a business, right? I mean, there's the same rudimentary steps that you go. You apply for your tax ID, you get an accountant, get a lawyer. All those types of necessary steps. Sometimes those are after you've already been able to generate revenue, but. To dispel some myths here, let's just embrace the failure component of your businesses. And I kind of want to hover over this point. What were some of the biggest learning lessons from your initial failures? And then what were some of your accidental successes, so to speak, that came from some of those failures?
Sure. So being an early entrepreneur, I started companies, ran them myself, tried to wear every hat. Do everything myself, make sure that my books were kept, make sure that my schedules were kept, make sure that I was at each meeting, make sure that I made all the sales. And inevitably, those were the companies that failed the most because I, having not realized that at the time, was not the most qualified person to be wearing all those hats. And I think this is somewhere where a lot of entrepreneurs kind of struggle. They start a company and they have to do everything themselves. And as they build, they take on more and more responsibility instead of realizing that it's possible to put some of that responsibility on co-founders, team members, people that work for you, people that are more highly qualified than you are. Along the way, I've had a few companies that completely by accident worked out wonderfully. One such company back in 2012, I started an apparel company called Miltac Apparel. It was for a military and tactical themed shirts, gear, things like that. And at that time, I completely accidentally linked up with a group that was on Facebook called Awesome Shit My Drill Sergeant Said. And they were starting off their merch line and they wanted somebody that could produce and drop shirts for them. And I stepped in, volunteered, and said, hey, I can do this. And immediately went and set up a company to do it. Having no experience with this whatsoever beforehand, but understanding the logistics behind what goes into what they were wanting, I was able to find partners, hire a few people, and within the first 2 months, we were grossing $5,000 to $7,000 a month off of orders that were coming in, first from just them and shortly after by some other partners. Within a few months, the success of these lines became very apparent, and much, much bigger providers than I stepped in and were able to offer better deals than I was able to offer. They were bigger companies. They had more resources. And that company I eventually shut down because I was not able to compete at the high level that I needed to.
Yeah. So the learning lesson there was it that you identified an opportunity and you were able to capitalize on that in the window, or was the learning opportunity, I guess, what was it? What was it that you gleaned from that experience?
Well, it's a little bit of both. So we stood up a company in under a month and started producing thousands of dollars of revenue right off the bat, off of my previous experience of starting up companies. The basic logistics of what goes into making sure the company is up and running and servicing the need, that was in a very, very specific niche. We did one thing. We printed and shipped apparel with a military and tactical community. That was it. So having learned about niches before then, I realized that that's something that you could really push. But I simply did not have the resources or the experience to compete within that market. So that taught me a very valuable lesson. Just because I can start a company does not mean it's going to be successful within a market.
Yeah, that's a valuable lesson. That's a very valuable lesson. I like that. So just because you can start a business doesn't mean that you can be successful. So how do you analyze? So actually, before we move on, let's back up a second. So I'm hearing a lot of military themed experience in some of your examples. Did you spend some time in the military, and what did you learn during that time if you were in?
Yeah, absolutely. I spent 6 years in the Marines. I was crash fire rescue as a reservist. I was activated in 2009. We went down to North Carolina for our workup, deployed to Iraq in 2009, returned in 2010. The lessons that I learned were multifold here. So we have the discipline that you get instilled in the military, the lifestyle, the thought process, the perseverance, the adapt and overcome attitude that you have to take in that situation. And on the other side of the house, I was crash fire rescue. So we were firefighters and basic EMS, first responders or EMTs. I actually worked up to my EMT while I was in. And that taught me the exact opposite side of the house, the compassion for other beings, whether you knew who they were or not, together, again, with some educational aspects and some project management aspects as well.
That's exciting. So you leveraged all of those skills and those really intangible, so to speak, that takes place, during military training, and you leveraged them to be valuable tools for you and your business.
They were a good start.
They were a good start, you said?
They were a good start. And I say start because it doesn't end there. I've been out since 2013, and my education has not stopped there. Getting out of the military and transitioning to the civilian world, I very luckily stumbled across some incredible business lessons and some incredible life lessons through mentors who, completely by accident, I happened to come across. One such situation is when I first moved to Austin back in 2013, I took a job with Keller Williams as part of their marketing department. I was their Drupal developer. Drupal is a type of web development platform that they built all of their sites on. Not all of them, but the sites that I was working on were built on that. And in my time there, Keller Williams was in the middle of their massive push for Gary Keller and Jay Papasan's book, The One Thing. And being part of the marketing department, it was my job to understand the book, to understand the market behind the book, and to help market this book to people who would find it useful. And one of the principles that they speak about in this book is that you are not going to be the single most qualified person in your organization to handle everything. And understanding where your strengths are, and more importantly, where your weaknesses are, allows you to find people who complement you or can help drive the success of your business by being more qualified than you are at doing something within your organization to drive that business.
That's great. So hold on for a second. Let's hover over that. The mentors that you had weren't mentors in where your strength zones were, or was it because they put you in environments that you hadn't been before, that you had kind of gotten some experience in, just that, I guess, expanding your comfort zone and learning something that you already had some basic understanding of is where they mentored you. Help me understand at least that example.
So they put concepts in my head that I had not thought about. These are individuals who are significantly more qualified than I am at what they do. They are phenomenal businessmen. Gary Keller raised up the largest real estate company in the U.S., Keller Williams Realty. And in the success that he spoke about and in the failures that he spoke about and Jay Papasan spoke about and some other leaders at the organization spoke about, they were very transparent that not everything was rainbows and sunshine, that identifying challenges and really tackling those is what makes businesses successful, not ignoring them.
Do you find that there's a consistent trend in, I guess, the myth of entrepreneurship that I think there was a book that was written. I think it was The E-Myth. I could be wrong, but there was examples where people feel as if, you know, starting their own business or running, I guess, their own projects kind of gives them the ability to think that, well, I mean, things are all going to be rainbows and sunshines. Do you feel like that's a myth that people operate on or an assumption that it runs rampant through entrepreneurs today?
To an extent, and I think this is a good point to really define what the difference between an entrepreneur and somebody who is self-employed really is. Somebody that's self-employed works for themselves, sets their own schedule, sets their own expectations, makes their own money, and has the ability to do so outside of the constructs of somebody else's organization. An entrepreneur identifies his organization as a separate entity from himself and sets the organization up to be financially stable, to make money outside of the entrepreneur's need to be a part of that organization, to actively work in that organization. A good example, if you are a speaker that makes $100,000 per engagement, if you do not show up and speak, you do not make that $100,000. That is not an entrepreneur. That is a self-employed individual. If you run a company and you employ speakers and you never speak, but every time one of your speakers goes and speaks, you make money, that is true entrepreneurship.
Yeah, that's a great distinction. A really good example, too. That's awesome. So let's talk about your most fun but least profitable business, because we're Knucklehead Podcast here. You're not gonna confuse us with a Harvard business lesson. So let's talk about some of your most fun businesses that you ran that were the least successful in your mind.
Sure, probably the most fun business I have run up until the one that I'm in now would be that very first one. At 16 years old, I was a high school student in a small town in New Jersey with absolutely nothing to do and everything that shuts down at 9 p.m.
Oh, yeah.
Towns over from us was a music venue, and there was a single company there that was throwing pretty successful shows with some of the local rock bands that were playing in the area. And rock was a very big thing when I was growing up where I was at that time. So a lot of kids found entertainment in going to these shows on Fridays and Saturday nights. And I found that there was enough demand for these shows with enough supply of the venues, if you think outside of the box on what a venue could be, that I could start throwing these shows. So I, together with two other high school students who were both junior to me in high school, mind you, started putting together these shows and promoting them. Now, because we went to the high school where these kids were that went to these shows, we were able to promote that via word of mouth, just in daily conversation. Our friends were the ones that went to these shows. Their friends were the ones that went to these shows. These are back in the MySpace days. I started a very successful MySpace page for the company. The company was called Fireshot Promotions. It's actually still up on MySpace right now.
Yeah.
And we had hundreds of people show up to our shows. We started thinking outside the box. That venue where those shows were being thrown got flooded out and destroyed right around the time that we were doing this. And we found alternative venues, gym, church common areas. We even threw a couple shows at coffee shops. I got a job at a coffee shop, worked up to assistant manager, and convinced them to let me throw shows there after hours as long as they were acoustic in nature.
That's funny. That's awesome.
Having loved going to those shows, found an opportunity to not have to pay to go to those shows, but instead do what I wanted, bring the music that I wanted, and found people that really appreciated that. Now, the lesson there, however, was I was bringing the music that I wanted, perhaps not the best representation of the total market. I was also 16 years old at the time, had no concept of business, how to grow a business, how to sustain a business, but learned along the way and spent a lot of time researching. That company actually led directly to another company that I started later on in life back in 2014, I started Def Productions, which was a production company in Austin, Texas, where we threw EDM shows. EDM was my music choice of the time, and I found a market. There were companies here in Austin that were throwing events, and my group of friends was going to them in hordes. I would pick up tickets from promoters by the tens or the dozens for my friends and my groups of people. I reached out to a few of those promotion companies and asked how I can get involved and how I can become one of their promoters. So instead of just facilitating these sales, I can actually start to draw something off of my network. And they refused to bring me on. So I turned around and I started a company with a gentleman by the name of Sam Corbett. And we started throwing shows very successfully for a period of about 2 years.
That's exciting. That's exciting. It's able to leverage your interests. You know, it's funny how you drew a delineation between somebody who's self-employed and somebody who is an entrepreneur. And you know, the common theme that I'm hearing over and over again is leveraging something that you were interested in and figuring out where the opportunity lies. And there's a progression, obviously a maturation that takes place versus just doing the same thing over and over again and getting, you know, inconsistent results, so to speak. So that's exciting, man. Well, tell us a little bit about Auden Digital. And I guess in closing, what's the best way for people to get in touch with you, and how can they support you in your business? Appreciate your service, by the way, in the Marine Corps.
My pleasure. So Auden Digital is a digital marketing agency that is in Austin. I come over the course of all of my companies. One thing has been consistent. I have been doing web design, web development for about 14 years. The past six of those years were spent in the enterprise and government sphere, where I worked on projects for companies like Keller Williams and for Yahoo and the Department of Labor and several more. And what I realized in this recurring theme was this is something I was very, very good at. And concepts that I had learned and taught at some of these companies were applicable to the SMB community. And I started this agency with the goal of helping entrepreneurs specifically work on their startups, establish their protocols, establish their operations, establish their marketing, automate what they can, and really truly treat their company as an independent entity that was able to grow on their own outside of that individual. We currently work here in Austin with multiple different types of businesses. We focus primarily on tech startups. But recently I have found that the veteran community has a lot of need for what we do and not a lot of resources to help them specifically. And we started mentorship for several entrepreneurs that are veterans, and we help them set up their businesses, and we help coach them, and we provide education, we provide feedback. And we're building up that side of the house a little bit more now. We're trying to make ourselves available to entrepreneurs as a resource, to veterans as a resource, because that's not something that is really ever instilled in us in the military. We're not told, hey, you can transition out and go start your own company. We are told that, hey, you have to transition out and this is what you do next. And entrepreneurship's really not spoken about. At least it wasn't when I got out. I'm not sure about the current climate. But there is a great need for that. And veterans make incredible entrepreneurs because they are resilient and they know how to run teams and they know about leadership and they know how to follow as well. And a good leader knows how to follow. So we are currently expanding as quickly as could be, and we're growing and we're changing and we're evolving. And we continue to try to give back to our community here. Another initiative that we have starting this month, actually, is with the success that we have had, we have found an ability to use our social networks, our networks in general, to make a difference in the world. And one of the things that I identified that I strongly believe in is in cleaning up the planet and the oceans. There are massive garbage patches that are floating in multiple oceans in the world that people might not even realize are out there. There are hundreds of tons of trash floating in a congregated pile, essentially, on the surface of the ocean where the currents bring all the trash together. And I identified that as something that I wanted to make a difference in. So we now donate a portion of our proceeds to organizations that are leading the charge of cleaning those up. And we focused specifically on startup-style organizations, bootstrap-style organizations, that are not organizations for the purpose of making money, but are truly people making a difference in the world. And us enabling them to continue their efforts allows us to not just make money off of what we do, but really leverage that money to make a difference.
It's a great way to summarize how capitalism can significantly influence and sway a cause for good. It's a great testimony for free market economics and
absolutely. We all have decisions that we make with the money that we bring in, and some people choose to take that money and make a difference, and some people choose to take that money and invest in things that are counterproductive to that difference. And yep. My personal values, my personal morals, put me in that former group. I want to be the change that I want to see in the world instead of relying on everybody else to do so.
Well, you got some valuable skills there, Alex, and some great experiences that can help a lot of budding veteran entrepreneurs. What's the best way for them to get in touch with you? How do they leverage the social media channels, or how do they connect with you?
Sure. Easiest way to reach out to us is on audendigital.com. That's audendigital.com. You can also find us on Facebook, on Twitter, on Pinterest, on YouTube. We lead a group here in Austin on Facebook called Austin Small Business Growth Hacking. It's a free group for any Austin entrepreneurs or Austin mentors or Austin investors or Austin growth hackers and the surrounding area, of course, that helps give education back to the community on how to really grow your business sustainably and in a way that it has a positive impact on others.
That's exciting. That's exciting. Well, I mean, that's cool. I appreciate you you plugging the group, one, because sometimes there's, you know, as entrepreneurs and as veterans, we're less apt to want to go engage in a one-on-one conversation. We want to be able to kind of curate material in a way, and so that's really cool that you make that group available. And obviously, there's going to be some content back and forth that people can go and find best ways to get in touch with you and go from there. So Alex, I appreciate you taking some time to be a guest on Knucklehead, man. For those of you who've been, say that one more time.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate being here.
Yeah, man, absolutely. It's always a blast to talk with sharp guys such as yourself, but then also just learn from guys. Listen, you don't have to have this all figured out. There's always people that are screwing up, that are messing up, but learning from those mistakes and being willing to share and those mistakes is really the secret that's going to lead to your next breakthrough. And that's what we try to do here at Knucklehead. We try to try to provide a platform for people to just talk about their mistakes, talk about the things that they screwed up, instead of acting as if they have it all figured out. So Alex, we appreciate you hitting the nail right on the head today, buddy.
A closing note really quick for,
let's do it. Yeah, go ahead.
Struggle with that. I want to leave you with a book that I think every entrepreneur should read. Every person honestly should read. The book is called The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. And the premise of the book, and I don't want to give too much away, but dumbed down very quickly, is the more time you worry about what could be in the future, the less time you're spending reacting to what actually is. And that's a very important lesson. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with anxiety and worry and expectations for what the future could bring. instead of really focusing on what the present is now. And that's not just within business, that's within our personal lives as well. And that's a message that I try to share with everybody as well.
100%. That's 100% correct. And those of you who are struggling, those of you who are in the midst of it, in the weeds, so to speak, he just told you how to get in touch with them. And not on top of that, you know how to get in touch with us. We had a guest on our podcast, I think it was episode 16, that literally gave the best way to get in touch with him. And he said, hey, listen, if you're struggling and you're so kind of caught up in it that you think that you're at your wit's end, just if you're listening to this, you're not there. Call us, connect with us. That's what veterans do. We try to, it's really what people should do, but it's you just leave yourself available to at least have a conversation. And so that's what we want. We want this environment, this atmosphere, this communication, this tool to be used for you that are listening to leverage the experience of somebody else to know that it's going to be okay. It may not be great right this second. And if you're struggling through a business struggle, but it is what it is. You're going to get through it. Don't be beta. Get some wins and iteratively take those next steps to achieving your next goal. So
absolutely. And failure is not the end of anything. Like I said, this is my 16th company and 15 of them, 14 of them no longer exist, but that doesn't stop me from continuing forward, from growing from my mistakes and from really trying to push for what I believe in.
100%, man. That's exciting. Well, Alex, we appreciate it. Hey, listen, you can listen to Knucklehead Podcast on iTunes, on Podbean, your favorite podcast listening app. You connect with us on knuckleheadpodcast.com. Get your Don't Be Betas, you get some win shirts. Or if you just want to just curate some of the old material, you're welcome to find us on any of your favorite podcast listening material or YouTube. So appreciate it, guys. Have yourself a good rest of the day. Alex, it's back to it, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Thanks, buddy. You bet.